as Shantideva said, and here's another quote of Shantideva. There's going to be quite a few of these. And why? Because Shantideva wrote the teachings on the way of the Bodhisattva. And this I recommend everyone to read. They really are incredible teachings on the path of a Bodhisattva. What need is there to say more? The selfish work for their own benefit. The Buddha's work for the benefit of others. Just look at the difference between them. And really, if you have the opportunity to spend some time around a Bodhisattva, a person with great practice realization in love and compassion, you really notice the difference and you experience the difference, and it's really quite incredible the way they treat people. There is really a big difference between those people who practice bodhicitta and those who don't. And the big difference comes about because they're working for the benefit of others, not for themselves. Using Rinpoche as an example, he started practicing bodhicitta at the age of 6. Really, when you meet him, those people who have had the great opportunity to meet him, you will have a good understanding of what I'm saying. Because of his great kindness, his great wish to benefit others, you really see how people are willing to help him however they can, in whatever circumstances, how grateful they are when they see him. They're so pleased to see him. It's really very obvious and very moving how wonderful he is. And what is the wonder is that practice of bodhicitta which he has realized. These great teachers give us a living example of what can be achieved through these practices of bodhicitta. For all these lifetimes, how many lifetimes have we followed and indulged in our self-grasping? And what has it brought us? It's just brought us more and more suffering, sometimes a little bit of happiness, then some suffering. We continue cycling in the suffering of samsara. What do we believe in? We believe in what's the media, the adverts. What is the purpose of all these adverts? Is they want to make a profit out of us. This is their real interest. However, these great teachers, and for lifetime after lifetime, they teach the same thing. The benefit, the practice, the importance of love and kindness and compassion and bodhicitta. And why do they teach us? Not for their own benefit, for our own benefit. However, what's so strange is we still believe in the media. We don't believe in these great teachers. And what long-term benefit has this brought us? So why not follow these great teachings of a bodhisattva, maybe even just for one lifetime, and see what might happen, what effect it might have on you, and the benefit you might experience, and the benefit it brings to those around you, to all sentient beings. I'm just laying down a little challenge. And if it brings great benefit, if you receive benefit, then why not carry on practicing in your future lifetimes as well? Just through our own logic, our own experience, we will understand the benefit of love and kindness and compassion. Who of us hasn't enjoyed or appreciated love or kindness when other people have treated us with warmth, have helped us? Really, if we can practice wholeheartedly, really see if we will be able to see the benefits of these wonderful practices. Even now, scientific research is showing that the practice of compassionate meditation will have an effect on our brain and on ourselves. And really, what is the point of treating others negatively? There was somebody that said, we're all in the same boat. We're all going to our death. So why would we want to harm or hurt others? And this really is true. We will all die one day. It's just sooner or later. It's just the timing that may be different. In this way, we're all the same. The more and more we attain the right mindfulness and awareness, the determination to consistently help others, to alleviate their suffering, we really will see the difference. What happens as the result? Our self-grasping decreases, our self-serving habits decrease, more and more we're concerned with others. More and more our mind, our actions of body, speech and mind are filled with love and kindness and compassion. And then after a while, it starts to arise naturally. And when we have no self-grasping and we're not thinking about ourselves all the time, then who is there to attack? Who is there to feel unhappy? When I'm not thinking of myself all the time, then I have less and less thoughts of unhappiness. And how is this change taking place? Is really through just simply changing our habits. However, in the beginning, it doesn't happen naturally. It needs diligence, it needs discipline. We have to put in an effort. We need to do it deliberately. However, continuously doing this, the more and more we do this, the more and more this becomes our habit. And then the more and more natural it becomes. What we say, what we do, how we think. Very similar to learning a new language. In the beginning, the words don't flow. We don't remember them. We don't know how to pronounce them. It feels very difficult. We deliberately have to go and practice. However, after a year or two, suddenly, quite naturally, the words are flowing. We understand more easily. We've developed this new habit. And then the habit of speaking the new language starts to happen very naturally and comfortably. As a practitioner, keep on aspiring towards bodhicitta. And the more often we aspire, the more natural it becomes. And then it naturally becomes how we think, what we say, and what we do. Very important in this is our motivation. It's really our motivation that determines whether our actions are that of bodhicitta with respect to our body, speech, or mind, or if they are of self-grasping. And making positive motivations, this we are all capable of doing. What stops us from maintaining this motivation is simply falling back into our old habits. So again and again, retrain ourselves to establish, to adopt new habits, positive habits, habits of wishing to benefit others. And more we adopt these habits, that we adopt these actions, the more and more we will feel happier. The positive attitude will enter into ourselves, and there's a good chance you will become healthier and a more pleasant person to be around. And people will likely have more trust in you. And these are just some of the positive side effects one may experience as a result of wishing for the benefit of others and actually benefiting others. And our ability and skill in benefiting others will grow. Naturally, the higher our realization, the more capable we will be of benefiting sentient beings. Naturally, it goes without saying that if we have the state of enlightenment, we will better be able to benefit others. And in addition, the practice of bodhicitta, the wish to benefit others, can really be a great motivator on keeping one on the path. If we're always just thinking of ourselves or our own self-grasping, then it may be easy for us to become lazy or maybe be not so diligent or disciplined in our practice. However, when we're thinking of the benefiting other sentient beings, it can inspire us and give us energy and motivation to get going again or to keep on going. And also the thought of thinking that if I keep on going, if my practice improves, I can better help suffering sentient beings. The aspiration of bodhicitta is really very, very vast and boundless. To be able to work for and endeavor towards the enlightenment of all sentient beings, it is very important that we awaken the love and kindness and compassion within ourselves. This incredible ability of love, kindness, and compassion of bodhicitta is within all of us. We all have the ability. We all have Buddha nature. And really, if you look at the great masters, you see these great abilities they have in benefiting others, their selflessness, their wish to benefit others. We hear of great stories, great examples of this great practice of theirs, where they really aren't concerned with their own well-being. They are concerned with the suffering of others and benefiting them. For instance, in the lifetime before Buddha attained enlightenment, when he saw the starving tiger near Nama Buddha, and he saw the starving tiger with her cubs, and he didn't consider his own suffering. He considered the suffering of the tiger and offered up his body to the tiger. And as a result of this, they say there were the positive arising causes, and her five cubs were his first five students when he attained enlightenment. And you hear of other accounts of great practices of bodhicitta. There was a bodhisattva who was going to be killed by somebody, and in the process of this person about to take his life, he said, "Just as you are about to take my life now, I truly wish and aspire that in my next life I will be able to take away all of your suffering that you may experience or that you have accumulated." And he's really not concerned with his own suffering and his own life. He's really more concerned about the suffering of the person that is about to murder him.